Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
welcome back to another edition of Leaving the Ring. Actually, it's welcome back to us, Felipe. It's been a minute since we've been on the air. It's going to be me and Felipe Leon here. Gabriel Montoya is working, so he's not going to be able to come on. So replacement on the pitcher chair is Felipe Leon,
Leaving
the Ring mule. There you go.
Actually,
so we got a lot of stuff to catch up with, right?
But it's not welcome back for me because I'm consistently on the Leaving the Ring network.
Back to me, 97 Rough Dave Duanes. It's welcome back. Welcome back. What was that song that you put on one time when you went hiatus for a minute? What was that song?
The Welcome Back Cotter. Great show.
Yeah.
John Travolta and bunch of other guys.
See, a lot of the guys that listen to Leaving the Ring or the network itself, they probably don't even remember that show. You're showing your age right now, Felipe. That's what you're doing.
I know, that's true.
You know,
Steve Kim remembers it.
Oh yeah, anybody that's either close to their 40s or over their 40s is gonna remember that show. But anyway, let's talk boxing, which everybody tunes in is hoping to hear from us, or you know, they want us to talk about boxing. First up is Danny Garcia, dude. I mean, you know, here's a guy who you have to have sometimes some sympathy for, because people just lay on his ass so much about some of the business moves that I entirely believe that he has no say about, you know, and the backlash of his father. Already the guy was not even liked when he announced he was going to be a pro fighter. You know, I mean, this guy has not been a very likable character in boxing, but he doesn't do himself any justice of getting fans to like him because of the picks like I said, I don't think it has entirely, it's all him, but he's definitely the guy that's okay with it, you know, and taking on the opponents that are getting thrown at his way. But even right now, just announced he's going to be having Samuel Vargas, who's out of Toronto, Canada, right? Columbia, right?
Yeah, he's originally from Colombia, but has been making his career out of Toronto, Canada. And he's 21-2. Actually, I'm sorry, 25-2, two losses, one draw. He's been stopped once. He has 13 knockouts. And he was actually stopped by none other than Errol Spence Jr., highly regarded as quite possibly the best welterweight out there, even though Danny Garcia is the WBC champion, Keith Thurman is the WBA champion, and Kell Brook, going up to middleweight. But they announced this fight on Spike TV for, I believe, November 12th, and
right,
it's not going to be a title fight. Not going to be a title fight. So my question here is, and I agree with you, I mean, Danny Garcia might not have too much say here, because I think that, you know, Al Haymon, who Danny Garcia has been managed by Al Haymon. He was one of the first fighters that Al Haymon picked up way back when. He probably says, hey, man, I got a fight for you. It's going to be on Spike TV. There isn't that much money, and this is who you're going to fight, you know, and it's not a title fight. And then Danny Garcia, he might say, man, why am I fighting these? I mean, I want to believe that Danny Garcia is saying, I mean, why am I fighting these guys? But then if I don't fight, A, I'm not going to fight the whole year. I've only fought once. And two, I'm not going to get paid. So I got to take the fight, you know?
Right. I think the rumor was originally there was going to be a rematch with Robert the Ghost Guerrero. That was the thrown thing out there in the beginning. And, I mean, even folks were kind of complaining about that. I was just like, oh, man, you know, I mean, the way Robert's been looking, I think Robert needs to hang him up and move on. Do something else, stick to cross training. I don't think getting back in the ring. But then this whole announcement with Samuel Vargas, which not a lot of folks know about, and it's not even just fans that are banging on him. man, we're seeing fighters. You know, Spence taking a jab at him, who's also involved with Al Haymon. You got Keith Thurman, you know, posting a picture of Danny Garcia as a cherry picker. I mean, this guy may be the most hated title holder right now in boxing. This guy, there's no love for this kid. Who would be the next guy?
Might be a little, you know who might be a little bit happy about this fight being made?
Samuel Vargas?
No, well, besides Samuel Vargas, he's going to get paid. But Saúl El Canelo Álvarez. Because maybe all the people that are, you know, bringing on the heat on Canelo Álvarez on the social networks with all the memes and everything, they're going to forget about Canelo for a bit and go after Danny Garcia.
Well, I think they've already fought. I think a lot of folks have already forgotten about Canelo. I mean, let's look at Danny Jacobs right now. There's a lot of people just throwing a lot of heat at Danny Jacobs because he doesn't want to submit to what was proposed in the beginning, right? But I agree with you. Yeah, I think Canelo's kind of taking that little, you know, that little smirk going, hey, man, at least it's not being thrown at me. But, I mean, even Canelo, though, I mean, he's taken better oppositions where Danny,
oh, yeah. No, you
dude,
can't deny
he doesn't
that.
Want to
you
fight nobody. Yeah. I mean, you know, look, bag all you want with Canelo versus Khan. But what's worse, you know, Vargas versus Garcia or Khan versus Canelo? Granted that Khan jumped up in weight, or even Brooks jumped up in weight to fight Triple G. I mean, there's nobody of note that Danny's actually taking. I mean, there's nothing there that says I'm taking a risk. The whole concept of him being a cherry picker, dude, it's true. You know what I mean? It's that there's no way of getting around that. He, you know, it may not be him picking the cherries out of the bucket or out of the fields, but it certainly is somebody there behind him, which we have to say the name is Al Haymon.
Well, let me ask you this, David. Would you rather see him fight, like, let's use it as an example, use the blueprint for Canelo and the Khan fight. Would you rather see Danny Garcia fight a much more respected junior welterweight going up to welter, or have him fight Samuel Vasquez, who, by the look of his record, is a somewhat of a natural welterweight, super welterweight, because he's actually fought as heavy as 154 pounds. So, in your opinion,
listen, cabrón,
what would you rather
see? That's a trick question, okay? That's not even, you know, there's no straight answer to that, okay? Because I think the whole thing is this, man. No matter what the kid does, if he was to have a respected junior welterweight jump up in weight, it don't matter. The fact of the matter is that he's been cruising as a titleist, not facing anybody of a real threat. I think that's what fight fans are so frustrated. I mean, I saw a couple of tweets going, you know, this is the reason why boxing fans are turning to UFC, because of guys like Danny Garcia. That to me is a major issue. Let me ask you this, dude. Why do you think that he's being protected so bad? I mean, why has he become the favorite son of Al Haymon? Let me ask you that. I mean, is there because they're trying to hold off to find out whether or not Floyd Mayweather is going to make that comeback? Because they couldn't make that fight. They couldn't come to an agreement on money between those two in the first time they went into negotiations. Is that something you think that they're holding on to hopefully intrigue Floyd to come back so they can dangle the title, that he has the title and I have no blemish on my record type of deal?
You know what? I just saw this article. It was posted on, I think it was World Boxing News or I think it was worldboxingnews.net, where they give out a list of, I believe it's like the five highest paydays that Floyd Mayweather Jr. could possibly get if he was to come back. Among that list, and I don't remember off the top of my head the order of them, but it's Gennady Golovkin, it's Floyd Mayweather, it's Saul Canelo Alvarez, and Kell Brook. You know, the biggest paydays that Floyd Mayweather Jr. could make, according to this website, if he were to come back. Not on that list was Danny Garcia. That's one. You know that if Floyd Mayweather Jr. comes back, he's going to come back for the money. But let's just say that he wants a tune-up fight before he goes after a big money fight against, let's say, a Manny Pacquiao or a Kell Brook. We can forget Golovkin or even a rematch with Saul Canelo Alvarez. Is Danny Garcia that tune-up fight? Is Danny Garcia that bad of a fighter, even though he's undefeated as WBC welterweight champion, in the eyes of Team Mayweather, that he's that bad of a fighter that he would be the tune-up fight for, like, let's say, a big-time money fight against Saul Canelo Alvarez or Kell Brook? I don't think so. I mean, Danny Garcia may not be the favorite against Floyd Mayweather Jr., but he might not be a walk in the park Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Well,
so,
facing guys like Samuel Vargas, bro, I mean, it, you know what? Listen, to me, not only do you downgrade your brand, but to me, when you don't face competitive opponents, you actually lose that peak of brilliance of whatever you had at one time. Because let's be honest, fighting Kendall Holt, moving up, and fought Kendall Holt as a boxer. You know, he ends up getting Lucas Matisse. He humbled him. He dropped him. I mean, he was up the ladder of finding out how really good this is. To me, he's flawed ladder, and he's never really started going back up the ladder ever since he, you know, with like Mauricio Herrera. I mean, we've seen him be exposed. We see him kind of declining. To me, that is a safer matchup and more of a walk of a in a part of Floyd Mayweather, because the fact the guy has never been challenged and doesn't feel that, you know, how do you bring the best of your ability with a fighter that it's been labeled as truly is one of the best fighters of our era, when you haven't even really boxed or really fought for the last couple of years and especially at your peak? How do you do that?
Who are you talking about? Danny Garcia. Yeah, well, one, I wouldn't consider him one of the best fighters of our of the era right now. That's one.
Well, I didn't say him. I said Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather.
I
said Danny Garcia.
Okay. And I do believe to a certain extent Danny Garcia has been challenged. I mean, possibly his toughest fight of his career, and he ended up winning, obviously, was – actually, he's been challenged a couple times that I've seen.
He's been challenged in the beginning, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my rant right now.
No, I mean – Matisse, that was somewhat of a challenge. I mean, that was 3, 4, 5 years ago, whatever that was. What was that? What year was that? That's on the undercard of Mayweather Canelo. So that was what, 3, 4 years ago? 2012,
yeah,
I believe.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
3 years ago.
So, 3 years of sitting and kind of waiting for what? I mean, what is this move right now? Samuel Vargas. I mean, you got two guys that are ready for him.
Yeah, I think it's more of an economic thing. You know, with everything that we've been hearing about the PBC and the money, and obviously they're paying for this slot on Spike TV, you know, maybe there isn't the type of money to get a Keith Thurman in there or a
total bullshit. No way, bro. Come on. Listen,
come on.
You're going to tell me there's no – the economic of it is what's hurting him to face somebody that's a true no? I mean, come on. How many fight fans would go and pay to watch Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia go at it right now? That, to me, was –
who knows? I mean – How many fight fans paid to see Keith Thurman against Sean Porter? I mean, I don't think that was a record-breaking gate.
I ain't saying record-breaking, but I mean, if Al Haymon is suffering from economics, okay, why, if he's a true businessman, why is he not making the more available fights that are out there for him to kind of get back what he's lost? I'm not getting the model.
That's
gotta
be.
I mean,
how much money do you think Danny Garcia is gonna want to fight Keith Thurman? I mean, you already heard what his dad said not too long ago that, you know, if we're going to get paid good money to fight the Raul Salcas of the world, why would we even want to fight anybody else? So, his dad said that, and his dad's the guy who's making the decisions, you know?
Wow.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, how much are you going to want to fight Keith Thurman? I mean, obviously, you're not going to fight him for the same amount that you're fighting Samuel Vargas. So, yeah, it is, I think, more of an economic thing right now than anything else. Showtime is not in play. Showtime is not paying for fights right now. Now, if Showtime
okay,
was
so
to put
it's
out...
Okay, so it's not Al Haymon. It's not Al Haymon holding them back. It's Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia is holding himself back, right?
I mean, unless Al Haymon is not offering the big money, and I don't think he's going to offer it at this point with what we've been hearing about the PBC.
There's no repair of whatever this guy's done. It is monster, right? And Danny Garcia is probably far the biggest one out of all of them. I mean, how do you respect a fighter or even look at him and even call him a fighter if he's not going to fight the best available, you know, competition there? How much longer does this guy continue to do this? Where, I mean, let me ask you this. When does Al Haymon become a promoter and say, dude, you're going to fight or I drop you out of the contract because I cannot produce anything else for you out there? This is what's available. These are the guys that the fight fans want to see. And he obviously got to make some money, put some money in his pocket, because nobody's going to go see him fight except for his close friends.
Well, we already know the answer to that. I mean, Al Haymon, technically, in his eyes, I would believe, or I don't know whose eyes, he's not a promoter, you know? I don't know if you could tell from the top of your head he's ever dropped a fighter. You know, he's probably let some go, but I don't think it's because they weren't fighting or they weren't taking his offer.
He hasn't dropped a fighter,
more,
but he shelved him. He hasn't dropped a fighter.
Well,
he shelved all of them.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he shelved all of them. I mean, there's that story. I think it was Dan Rafael who wrote it that gave a list of who's only fought one time this whole year, Danny Garcia included, and then who hasn't even fought the whole year, including Peter Quillen and a bunch of other guys. So you know, it's not that Danny Garcia is the only one that he shelved or anybody else that won't take a fight. He's pretty shelved nearly his whole top roster. I mean, all these other guys have gotten fights. You know, Cowboy Carls and stuff like that. Go ahead.
The only people that right now that are by far the most active in Al Haymon roster, okay? And, you know, I think Tevin Farmer is pretty much the more recognizable of all the rest of the guys. But two fights, you got Wilder, Frampton, Geraldo Washington, Spence, Robert Easter Jr., Leo Santa Cruz, Robert Guerrero, Sammy Vasquez, Dominic Brazil, Javier Fortuna. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys, two fights. One fight.
But how many of those fighters have actually gone as opponents? Robert Guerrero in his first fight of the year was technically the
opponent.
He fought Danny Garcia.
Right.
Dominic Brazil, he went across the pound as an opponent. You know? So the ones that you named, and the other ones like Tevin Farmer, and those other ones, they're being developed.
That's
so
right.
Obviously they're not.
Caleb
Plant,
who's fought three times. Right, right.
Yeah, Errol
I
Spence
agree.
To a certain extent. They're being developed, so they're not getting paid the money that a Danny Garcia is getting paid, a Peter Quillen, an Adonis Stevenson. You know, those type of fighters that command close to $1 million, if not more. You know, those are the guys that are not fighting.
Well, let's look at the guys right now that have only fought once on the PBC roster. Okay, you got, you know, Andre Berto, Adonis Stevenson, right? Okay, million.
Millions.
Austin Trout, well, how much do you think he's asking for?
I mean, it's got to be, I would say
500
mil, at least.
Right.
Yeah,
right, 500,000, 700,000. Laura.
Close to a mil.
Another guy. Close to a mil. Adrian Broner, a mil and more.
Millions. Yeah.
Right. Chris Oriello, uh-huh. who's now, I believe, announced his retirement. But let's look what's going on with Danny Jacobs at this moment. The Charlo
brothers.
But
Chris Oriello, I think he fought a couple times this year, didn't he?
No, he only fought once. And he was
lost.
The opponent for Dante Wilder.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. He was the opponent.
You know, BJ Flores, how much do you think he's asking for? He can't ask for much because the guy hardly ever fights.
He's an opponent this Saturday in England.
Julius Jackson. You know,
he was
opponent, didn't he?
He just lost, didn't he?
Lucian Bute, you obviously know he's going to be asking for close to $1 million. Steve Cunningham,
yes.
There's another guy, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Vasquez, who nobody really likes to, nobody cares to watch him, but how much is he asking for? I mean,
nowhere near $1 million. I'll tell you that much.
No. But I mean, he's probably asking for what, $300,000, $400,000?
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, so everybody here already, you're looking at at least $100 million, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all the names I'm looking at, Sergio Mora, you got Anthony Durrell, Andre Durrell.
Not a hundred.
No.
Not $100 million, but no.
Okay, what do you think? $50 million? Let's say $50 million. If you total all these guys together, it's almost pretty close. Nah, not even that. Maybe 40.
25,
maybe
40, 30.
I'm going to go with the high. I'm going to go with 40. Okay?
Okay.
And the guys that haven't fought are like Antonio Tarver. Why? Because, you know, he seems to have problems with controlled substance and you know, PDs. Peter Quillen, who got knocked out by Danny Jacobs, you know, yeah, he took a long layoff.
Mm-hmm.
Omar Figueroa. Who's been having some hand problems. I mean, he's even posted it out there. So,
plus other problems.
Other problems as well. You know, Lamont Peterson, Abner Morris, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Wow, that's a lot of problems.
Well,
you know,
he's actually not that.
Right? Well, so, I mean, where does this guy go? I mean, what does this guy do? He's definitely got to start releasing fighters, man. Because
well, that's what we're gonna see. I mean, the whole rumor is that they're kind of like laying low because they're gonna have a big 2017. You know, that's what everybody. I would suspect that that's what. I mean, at least I mean that's what this is what I was thinking about earlier this week. It's like, what's going on with Showtime? Like, when's the last time there was a major Showtime fight on the channel? I mean, not talking Showbox, because the last Showbox was a couple weeks ago when Tommy Morrison's son fought. But what was the last? I don't know if you remember off the top of your head. What was the last, you know, major championship fighting?
Carl Frampton versus Leo Santa Cruz.
Was that the last one? That was the last one in July.
That was, I think, July or something like that.
I mean,
right.
These guys used to have this program when I forgot the guy's name that went to HBO, the executive. The one that Ken Hirschman.
He was doing them every
first Saturday of the month. You had a Showtime.
He had a really good idea and direction of what he was doing with Showtime. Whatever happened at HBO, I don't know, because he wasn't able to bring those ideas. I mean, I think Steve Kim probably have a little more insight about why he was kind of handcuffed with HBO. Because HBO has been talking for quite some time. They want to cut. They were cutting the sports budget, and they wanted to cut boxing. You know, one of the programs was boxing. They wanted to cut out. Because there was really no need for it there. And this is three, four, maybe a little more longer in terms of that discussion of what was happening in the sports of HBO, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Showtime, it was the second class that would fight, remember, to show that he had value. There was a reason why you had to tune in. And not everybody. Find Showtime description, and you remember this? Remember with Golden Boy when? Because it was really Al Heyman and what's his name?
Richard Schaefer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Twisted Schaefer. What did you call? Him?
I said Richard Schaefer. You said Dick Schaefer.
No, you said Crooked Schaefer. That's what I heard you say.
No, I didn't.
You're lying.
Well, go ahead.
Anyway, remember when they jumped the boat? They jumped ship. They left HBO and they went to Showtime, and everybody started kind of going that way as well, buying up the subscription. And they produced because the doctor decided to wake up and see what was going on. He was losing his company.
Mm-hmm. I think that Showtime has to be gearing up for something in 2017. I mean, they have to offer something.
We've been
to their
saying
subscribers.
That, though.
I mean, yeah.
We've been saying that for the past 2 years. Remember?
Yeah. Well, actually, supposedly there's going to be an announcement of what they have planned for the month of December. So we're going to have to wait. I think they're supposed to announce something this week or next week of their schedule for December to close out the year. So maybe they have something up their sleeve. Obviously, it's going to include PBC fighters.
You know, here's the thing. Is normally, we always say that fans are always in a rush to see the best fights available, and we need to be patient. But holy shit, how much more patient do we have to be?
Yeah, when there's two major networks, I mean, the two major networks in boxing, which are HBO and Showtime, I mean, those are the only two networks that really have the budget to really put on super fights. I mean, not super fights, but really high-caliber elite fights. I mean, you got to give it to the PBC. They have done at least two fights this year that were high-caliber fights. Keith Thurman against Sean Porter and Carl Frampton against Leo Santa Cruz. But listen.
I know that. But, dude, how are we going to applaud them when you look at that roster of all the fighters there, and that's the only two freaking fights that were actually, you know, really good in terms of fight fans wanted to see? That's the best you could produce for us? This bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. They're not living up to the potential of what could be done with the roster that they have. you know, whether it's bad management, right. it's economics, it's whatever you want to, whatever it is. And obviously the only one that knows, we could all speculate, and we all have been speculating, everyone from writers to, you know, us on podcasts and stuff like that. But the one that really knows is Al Haymon, you know.
Well, see, you know what?
He's the one that really knows.
Right. He's the one that laid out his foundation of how he was going to run his house, right? So he created this. He's created this speculations and opinions of from, you know, certain different outlets, okay? If it is economics, boo-hoo, that's your fault. This is what you started up with. You decided to swallow up all the fighters, taking them all, you know, your side of the fence. You were trying to take out, well, basically we was trying to do it was have the monopoly over the sport, right? And it didn't work out because you didn't, you know, cross your teeth and dot your eyes. So now who suffers is the fight fans, and who also suffers, I have to say, are the fighters. Because, you know, you remember this, man, even trainers were defending Al Haymon because they were getting paid so much money. But, and I said this, you know, which I still think is going to happen in 2017 does not produce what they're rumoring, what they're throwing out as a rumor that's going to happen next is going to be a big bang. I foresee fighters starting to walk away. Why? Because you're not getting paid to sit back and watch. These fighters got to eat, you know? What happens to the fighters that are not these high-profile fighters that are not making the money that was promised? Because the only ones to me that are going to be making money, Felipe, are the ones that are going to be opponents or the guys that are coming up that don't require a big paycheck at the time because they're trying to fight their way to say, this is, you know, I'm on my way up, and this is why I deserve, you know, big money. The big money guys, to me, it just seems like the Danny Garcias to the Sean Porters and Keith Thurmans and all these other guys, they're going to probably have to start seeking real money coming in because it's no longer there. The piggy bank is starting to get really, really empty.
Yeah, you know, and I feel bad for, like, the likes of, like, Keith Thurman and maybe Sean Porter and some other fighters who maybe at first when they first got that phone call from Al Haymon and was told, hey, you know, we want to sign you. We're going to give you this signing bonus. This is what your minimum for your fight's going to be. And, I mean, obviously it was a lot more than anybody else was offering. And they were happy about it. And now they've been sitting there, having fought in months upon months upon months, do not know when their next fight date is at. And they might be thinking, man, was this really a good decision? I mean, yeah, I got money in the bank, but I'm a fighter. I want to get in the ring. I want to prove that I'm one of the best in the sport. I want to leave my mark in this sport. I want my name to go down in the record books. And the only way that you're going to do that is by fighting. I mean, there's only a certain amount of fighters like Floyd Mayweather Jr. and maybe Mike Tyson and Manny Pacquiao who might say, you know what, I'm in the record books. I'm in history for being one of the most well-paid boxers, athletes ever in sports history. You know, I mean, that's a given. I mean, but there's a lot more fighters that get to say, hey, you know, I'm a four divisional world champion. I'm a five-time world divisional champion. I'm this, I'm that. And I think Keith Thurman and Sean Porter and all these other fighters or some of these fighters, they want to go down in the record books. They want to be remembered as those type of fighters and maybe not as the best paid because there's only so much money that you can get paid as a fighter, but to be remembered as something. And whatever you're going to remember Keith Thurman as or about Sean Porter, about him only fighting once a year, twice a year, you know, I kind of do feel bad for these guys because I know this is not what they want their careers to be. You know, they got the money. They don't have to worry about stuff, but I'm pretty sure that they got into
the
sport
end of the day,
to
right.
fight.
Listen, at the end of the day, it all boils down to legacy. The money is obviously one of the major perks for fighters, you know, but, you know, the recognition – Aaron Pryor, who just recently passed away, could tell you. I mean, this guy was hunting down Sugar Ray Leonard and, you know, wanted that recognition of being the best fighter in the world. I mean, that's the reason get into this. They want to be recognized. They want to have that banner that says, you know, this guy's one of the best, one of the, you know, true legends of the sport. In the beginning with Al Heyman, I saw it. I was like, look, the money's there. These kids are well-deserved. I mean, they put their lives on the line, right? But all that has to fizzle down because eventually, you know, it's just not all about money. I mean, Floyd, you said it, man, is getting – he got paid the best, one of the most highest-paid athletes in the sport of boxing and among a lot of other sports. But at the end of the day, he still can sit back and say, well, I'm still considered one of the best fighters, one of the best
I think that's a big point.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big point because I think that if you strive to be the best or to be somebody in this sport, the money's going to come, you know. The money is going to come one way or the other, you know. You're going to get paid. Are you going to get paid Floyd Mayweather money? Perhaps not. You know, Rigondeaux doesn't get paid that kind of money, or maybe Lomachenko doesn't get paid that kind of money, or even Triple G doesn't get paid that kind of money. But the money's going to come. You're going to get paid better than most if you strive to be one of the best in the business, in the sport of boxing. And I think that's what the motivation is, because they know that the money's going to come. Aaron Pryor, may he rest in peace, he knew that if he went after Sugar Ray Leonard and he got the fight, A, he was going to get paid, and B, if he ended up beating Sugar Ray Leonard, then he was going to get paid more for whoever he fought after that, you know?
Right.
So, but at the same time, he wanted to be the best and beat Sugar Ray Leonard, who at that time was considered perhaps one of the best fighters of that era,
in other eras.
Go ahead.
There's another thing, bro. I mean, let's think about this. In the Aaron Pryor era, where you had like Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, you had Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, you know, you had the list of guys. They understood that there was still money. Even if you lost, there was still big money in rematches. If you put your whole all to it, there was still big money in rematches. What it looks like now with fighters is that, even with promoters, that there is no big money in rematches because we've diluted it so much by saying that, you know, if you got an O and it's blemished, you know, your O's gone, and you can no longer sell yourself as this undefeated figure, you know, like this one last warrior that could walk the earth without being hurt. You know, to me, the problem is boxing has created this whole image of this, one perfect fighter that can walk through anything and anywhere, and nobody can beat them. Where when I grew up, and me and you, we grew up, we watched guys like, Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales. They lost, but they still never really lost the momentum of fans showing up to watch them fight. And that's why they got rich. They were able to put money in the bank all the time because not only did we know we were going to see them put their all in the ring, you know, but we were watching history in the making by these fighters stepping in the ring, you know, where a lot of these fighters, you know, they've been fooled by the mighty dollar, thinking that the mighty dollar is what's going to make you famous. Because, you know, it worked for Floyd, but I think a lot of people have forgotten what really did work with Floyd was look at the guys that he was fighting in the lower weight classes to get where he was at. You know what I'm saying? He was doing what he had to do. It's finally when he got there, he took on the money alter ego, you know, but what are we going to do? I still, you know, I used to defend Danny Garcia, but it's really hard to defend a guy that, you know, is going to continue down that road of allowing money to cloud his real thought of trying to be a legendary fighter. You're not going to get there like that, you know. And if you think that all of Samuel Vargas's of the world is going to help you go to the next step and be prepared to fight somebody that's been actually fighting to get to that point, good luck.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I think that now that 2016 is, you know, coming to a close. I mean, we're in October. You know, we just gotta take 2016 for what it was, and it hasn't been like the best year for boxing. And hopefully, it's just kind of like a 12 round fight, and it's like the sixth round, and that fighter is taking a little bit of a breather. He's taking the round off because he's gonna get a second win in the seventh round and finish up the fight strong. I think that's what 2016 is. You know, we're taking a breather. We're taking the round off. And then 2017, hopefully with the fights that are being talked about, hopefully with Showtime, interesting fights with somewhat of a budget, you know, and with hopefully making some of the fights that have been talked about in 2016, make them happen in 2017. Rematch Leo Santa Cruz, Carl Frampton, Canelo Triple G, you know, some of those fights, making them happen in 2017. Then, you know, I think if we gear up for that, I think, you know, I want to be optimistic and look forward to that.
Yeah, I'd be optimistic about that too, you know. But I tell you what, though, Danny, Danny Garcia skills may be a little shabby at the time right now, in my opinion. I mean, he skinned by Guerrero, he skinned by Herrera. We'll see how he looks against Samuel Vargas, but there's something there's something to take the note with him, though. He's got some real thick skin because I'm telling you, man, fans are ripping this guy a new one.
It's coming. The avalanche is going to come. And you know what? And hopefully, and another fight that hopefully can be made in 2017. I mean, Keith Thurman, he tweeted it out. He goes, I'm coming after that green belt in 2017. This is the last cherry you're going to get. Hopefully that's true. Hopefully, you know, they can make that fight because that would be a great fight to watch in 2017. Keith Thurman
against
Danny Garcia.
That's the fight everybody wanted to see next, you know? Even though, look, almost end of the year, I still November is fully stacked. We'll be talking about November next month.
I would have taken Andre Berto against freaking Danny Garcia at this point, you know? I mean, I think that would have been okay scrap, you know?
It would have been, yeah. It would have been, I think the reason why it would have been competitive because Danny Garcia has become more of a one-handed fighter, you know, throwing his right. Well, you're going to have two one-handed fighters going at it with each other, you know? But. We'll see. Anyways, sorry, Danny, but, you know, gee, how do you defend that? How do you defend Samuel Vargas and Danny Garcia? I don't see anybody with a brain that can defend something
like
that.
Well, I mean, I think the only way that you can defend it is say, at least it's not Rad Salka.
A rematch?
Yeah, at least it's not Rad Salka, so, you know.
Well, good thing that Samuel Vargas answered the phone because I think that would have been the other option. I think that might have been the original option. He didn't answer the phone. Mm. But anyways.
Well,
but
he anyways, is coming off a win, I think.
Right. Oh, yeah. He is coming off a win. So let's move on. Yeah. He got in the news right now. Tyson Fury, heavyweight Tyson Fury. He just vacated the titles from the WBA and WBO. Let go of them because, you know, the fight originally was Vladimir Klitschko. That fight fell apart. It was mental reasons. But then what came out was the fact that, you know, cocaine use, which Vada had caught on to. It was in his bloodstream. I thought
he failed two tests, didn't he?
Yes,
he failed two cocaine tests. Yeah.
So I think this. Listen, I think that because, you know, after what that announcement with the cocaine thing, a lot of folks like, oh, it's well, see, it's not mental. Actually, it is mental. I mean, cocaine is a hell of a drug, man. It's going to screw him up mentally and everything else. You know what I mean? I mean, he's obviously not even there. I mean, I think he even announced, I might be wrong, but I think he announced that, you know, that he's been using cocaine for a very long time. This is like
He said he's done a lot of cocaine. He mentioned in an interview with Rolling Stone magazine that he has done a lot of cocaine recently. You know, and here's my question: What's with these Brits and cocaine? They love it over there. I mean, Ricky Hatton got
Joe Calzaghe,
Joe Calzaghe, Tyson Fury. I mean, who else? I mean, a bunch of dudes in England have been getting caught with the cocaine. So the yayo,
Hey,
yeah.
What is it? Angel, get the yayo. You know.
But you know what? I mean. Not making fun of it or anything. I think that at this point, Tyson Fury, forget boxing, you know.
He's
got
to restore
Fury,
himself.
Yeah. You know, he's having some mental, I mean, he has a bout of depression, you know, adding the cocaine use on top of that and stuff like that. Forget boxing. I mean, you need to get your life together. You need to go to rehab. You need to find out what is the deep root of why you're depressed. And then second, why would you take large amounts of cocaine, you know. I mean, you know, there's a saying that
the
boxing
guy's supposed
that
to be...
after you become
right.
I mean,
no, go ahead.
Shouldn't
yeah.
you be the most motivated in your? I mean, the guy is undefeated.
Exactly.
He's
right.
Yeah, he's undefeated. He
top of the
struggled.
World.
He once he's top of the world. Just beat Vladimir Klitschko. I mean, the guy who has been the heavyweight world champion for years and years and years. You beat him, regardless of how you beat him, regardless how
right.
bad that fight was. You know, you beat him. You're the new guy in the heavyweight division. Shouldn't you be ultra motivated to prove, and like you say, going back to the whole legacy thing, proving that it wasn't a flash in the pan, proving that it wasn't a one-time thing. Shouldn't you be ultra motivated? And instead of being...
Hey, proving that it wasn't two lines of coke that got you past it, you know?
Yeah, you know? And,
I had to throw that in there.
And instead of... And instead of being motivated to prove that, you know,
right.
He went the other way and completely went down the abyss and ended up here, vacating his titles, you know, and, you know, suicide thoughts and admitting to huge amounts of cocaine use. So, you know, he needs to bounce back. I think he needs to forget about boxing for a while and just figure out what's going on in his life and hopefully – you know, like Peter Fury, who is his trainer and handler, said that he's expecting him to come back in March or April. I don't know, man. But hopefully he does something because...
You know, I think we can ignore the fact, though, is that, you know, he comes from the Gypsy Travelers, which is there is a lot of prejudice towards you know, his people. I mean, the guy's been through some shit. You know, his old man was locked up, if I remember correctly. You know, the guy's been through some things, so obviously there's mental issues in terms of the past of what he's been through, you know. So I don't think it's fair to say that he should ignore what he has went through to get to where he's at. I think that's a major effect, and that could lead into why he's doing drugs. Why, you know, I mean, it's a lonely life sometimes as a fighter. But you're absolutely right. You're on the top of the world. You're labeled as the legitimate heavyweight champion. Now dropping the titles. To me, it's the perfect time for him to do it because I don't think it affects him having titles. You know, you want titles as leverage to produce the biggest fights out there for you. But I think when you get to that top of the mountain, people are still, even though we dropped the WBA and WBO, people still are going to label him as the undisputed heavyweight at the time. That's the fight that Deontay Wilder wants. You got to beat the man to be the man, right? Joshua, Anthony Joshua. I mean, that's why Vladimir Klitschko was after him solely because he wanted those titles back. Wanted those titles back. But, you know, and it wasn't the titles, the belt that went around his waist. It was the actual title of being the undisputed heavyweight champion. So I wish him all well, man. I hope he gets back on his feet. You know, I mean, you know, all jokes aside about cocaine, I mean, it's an 80s drug. I mean, what are you doing, bro? It's an 80s drug. But anyways, I hope he gets his head back together. Go get some counseling or something, man. Do something. I mean, his family needs to step in because to me, he's at the prime and there's a lot of good fights out there. I'm being a little selfish too by saying that. There's a lot of great fights out there for him to get back into the ring. So get well.
Well, the silver lining on the cloud is that for the first time in a long time, the heavyweight division is not being, you know, locked up with only two fighters. I mean, at one time the two fighters were Vladimir Klitschko and his brother, Vitaly Klitschko. Then Vitaly retired, and then Deontay Wilder took over the WBC title. Now we have Deontay Wilder and Vladimir Klitschko. And now for the first time in a long time, you know, the heavyweight division has opened up. We have the IBF champion in Anthony Joshua, who by the sound of it is very, very close to defending his title against Vladimir Klitschko, maybe in December. And then now the WBO title has opened up, and it looks like, according to Bob Arum of Top Rank, Joseph Parker – it's going to be facing Andy Ruiz for that title, maybe in December. And then
Andy Ruiz, right?
Who knows? Andy
yeah.
Ruiz Jr. And then maybe the interim WBA heavyweight champion, Luis Ortiz, who's going to be fighting November 12th, who just signed a promotional contract with Matchroom Boxing of England. He might be getting a shot at the full-fledged title against a top contender. So for the first time in a long time, we actually can have four different champions.
Right.
In the heavyweight division. I mean, when's the last time we saw that?
Yeah, I mean, heavyweight division.
And
we've been talking
now,
about the heavyweight
yeah.
division for a while. Yeah, you know, it's starting up to be look really, really, really meaty with all the guys that are, you know, in that roster of heavyweights. So
no pun intended with mentioning Andy Ruiz and being meaty.
Yeah, no pun intended. You know, I mean,
yeah, hey.
He'll hit me. He'll knock.
Yeah,
he'll
imagine
hit me so hard to go back to next week. You know,
but imagine, But imagine that. I mean, let's say, you know, whoever wins between Joseph Parker and Andy Ruiz, you got a champion there. You know, if Luis Ortiz ends up fighting a top contender and whoever wins the WBA title there, and then whoever wins it between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko, you got a champion there. You got four different champions, and, you know, only one of them is with Al Heyman, who is Deontay Wilder, and none of them are with Golden Boy Promotions. So
right,
any one of those fights can be made. You know, Deontay Wilder against Anthony Joshua, Joshua against Parker, you know, Reese against whoever, Deontay Wilder, he's with Top Rank, you know, whatever the case may be, Luis Ortiz with Matchroom Boxing, any of those fights can be made. There's no politics in the heavyweight division.
Well, this, I mean, Wilder, Dante, and
Al Heyman doesn't have a problem with Matchroom Boxing. They've done fights already.
No.
I mean, he sent Brazil over there,
and on paper,
Top Rank doesn't have any issues with Al Heyman. On paper, they already settled their court case, so they said that they could work together. And then whoever And whoever has Joseph Parker out there in New Zealand, I mean, I'm sure that he doesn't have any issues with Al Heyman. So those fights can be made.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Maybe that's the look forward to in 2017 that Al Heyman's talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyways, fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598. I know we made a late announcement about letting everybody know that we're going to be on, but we'll patch in one caller right now here that's been waiting. Let's see. It's on a private call. What's up? You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? 111? No, probably just listening.
No problem.
Hey, if you want to get at us, you can reach us on Twitter as well. Here at Leaving the Ring. So it's all capital LIITR Boxing. Or you can shout out to Felipe here on SD Fights. He's on Twitter as well. But anyways, don't forget to catch up with In the Square Circle with Felipe Leon every Tuesday. He's got a new show coming out on on Boxeo Tijuana Network, which is I'm actually looking forward to that. I got to listen to a little bit of the preview that you guys did, bro. When is that supposed to be released, and when is that going on? It's in Spanish, though. So if you don't speak any
Spanish,
you're going to luck out.
Yeah, it's in Spanish. That's going to come out on podcast. You can find it on the Boxeo Tijuana podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Google Play. It's in Spanish, and it's going to be on the podcast on Monday and also on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Boxeo Tijuana. It's going to be on Monday. We're going to post it on YouTube and on the podcast account for iTunes and Google Play, Boxeo Tijuana. And basically, it's me and this other gentleman, his name is Lorenzo. They call him El Chacal or the Jackal. And we're kind of going to discuss, different topics. We're going to debate over them. Each one of us is going to get 2 minutes to give a debate. It's kind of like a nerd type of thing. You know, if you remember the debate club back in high school, it's kind of like that, but we're going to be debating a boxing topic. So if you guys speak Spanish and you want to listen to that, look for it on Monday podcast account, Boxeo Tijuana, and also on YouTube, Boxeo Tijuana on YouTube.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk some boxing. You're starting to sound like a Donald Trump advertisement that had been hosting us in the beginning of our shows. Anyways, all right. And some other fight news here. We got to get into the whole Danny Jacobs, his lawyer. They send out a proposal to look for a 60-40 split. The WBA said, nope, ain't going to have it. They went into reconsideration of, evaluating the offer that Jacob and his team were, asking for. But originally it was stamped as 75-25, and the WBA is going to stick to that. And they're giving Danny Jacobs an extension till next Saturday, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday to accept. Now, so I guess the big question is
No. It's not to accept. Right now there's still an open negotiations. Right now, hopefully, even though it was said that Al Heyman wasn't really picking up the phone anymore, but right now Tom Loeffler and Al Heyman, hopefully they're negotiating so that they don't have to go to purse bid. If they go on purse bid, the purse is going to be held I hope on October 22nd, and then whoever wins that purse bid is going to have the right to promote the fight with the split going 75% Gennady Golovkin, 25% Daniel Jacobs. Daniel Jacobs' people had requested the WBA to change the split of the purse bid from 60 to 40. The WBA held the vote with their championship committee, and they decided unanimously, according to Gilberto Mendoza, to keep it at 75-25 in favor of Gennady Golovkin. So right now, if Daniel Jacobs' people, Al Heyman, come to terms with Tom Loeffler, it would be for a better deal than what he would get at 75-25 if it went to purse bid. So it's in their best interest.
What better deal would it be? What, I mean, look, 60-40, what would be a 30-70? So that's 5% more, right?
Yeah, but it just depends on the amount that he's being offered, you know. It just depends on the amount that he's being offered, and he has to believe in good faith that it will be more than the 25% he would get if it goes to purse bid.
I don't see how they can't accept whatever's going to be offered, because, you know, I mean, who's selling out? Who's selling out? I mean, who's drawing people? Triple G, right?
I mean, it's obvious. Yeah, he draws them in New York. He draws them in New York. He draws them in L.A. He draws them in London. You know, Peter Quillen and Daniel Jacobs didn't draw, and they're both from Brooklyn, and they fought in Brooklyn last December, you know? So the only thing that Daniel Jacobs is really bringing to the table is that WBA regular title, you know, which to a certain extent, you know, does Triple G need it? No, not really. He's a super champion, you know. But I did read an article where Gilberto Mendoza, the WBA, has stated that they want to do away with the whole super champion, champion, interim champion thing, and they want
to
bring down the championship.
They need to.
So I believe that.
Right.
Yeah, so I believe that if whoever wins that fight, Gennady Golovkin or Daniel Jacobs, if it goes on, if it does happen, then that's going to be the end. It's going to be just that one champion and no more super champions, and I think they're trying to reduce it in all their divisions. But other than that, I mean, Daniel Jacobs doesn't sell. He doesn't bring anything to the table, you know, as far as getting paid. You know, obviously he wants to make the most money he can because he's a world champion, and he might not be after this fight anymore. So he wants to get paid for, you know, for this fight. But I don't think it's to the amount that he had been asking for, which I believe there was a report that he was
asking
in between three.
Well, the fight's
not that
built up. The fight is not a build-up fight like Canelo and versus Triple G, you know?
They can't build it up because they don't have a deal yet, so they can't even start to promote it.
Well, I mean, even in terms of that, I mean, look, how many people right now really know that are casuals? Because, see, the casuals are starting to figure out who Triple G is because of Canelo. You know, Triple G and his team, they did a fantastic job by attaching himself to Canelo Alvarez, you know, because there's a lot of people that I know that are Canelo fans. Do they, you know, you mentioned Triple G's name a year ago, they would have been like, I don't, you know, saying, you know, whatever, right? But now they're like, oh yeah, Triple G, yeah, Canelo, you know, they haven't really even seen him, but they know that that is the fight that is the most anticipated among fight fans at the moment, you know, and you know, casual fans, they're like a herd of cows. They're gonna just follow what is being told to them, right? This is the biggest fight out there. So Danny Jacobs has not been, in terms of, for us, it's a good fight. For us, I mean, that, you know, that's a fight that's far better than going in with the Cal Brook. But to me, Al Heyman, and you said it perfect, he's not a real promoter. He's never really promoted Danny Jacobs to have the bigger way, sway of having his way, because the fact that he hasn't been built up like that as Triple G has.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree. And that's the thing. You're absolutely right. I mean, the casual fans don't know Daniel Jacobs at all, you know, and this is a fight for, this is a Triple G fight. This is a fight that HBO wants because A, they want to have Triple G fight three times a year as long as he does as well. I mean, mostly he does. That's something that he has been pushing for a long time, that he wants to fight at least three times a year. He wasn't able to do it last year because of the unfortunate passing of his father. But he definitely wants to fight three times this year. The WBA mandated that fight, which it was their right to do because Gennady Golovkin is their super champion and Daniel Jacobs the regular champion. And that made sense to HBO. I mean, instead of having to look for an opponent, which they always have to do and they always have trouble finding one, Triple G is a guy that wants to – a lot of people call him out, but when it comes to signing – on the dotted line, it doesn't happen. I mean, just ask Billy Joe Saunders, ask Chris Eubank Jr., and at this point, you might have to ask Danny Jacobs too, because he's a guy that said time and time again that he was willing to fight Triple G, but then when it comes to the money, they want all the money in the world, and they don't deserve all the money in the world. They even offered – they actually offered – didn't they offer Billy Joe Saunders $4 million to face
– I don't know. I don't remember.
Triple G? I think they did. Yeah, I think they did, and he didn't take it. You know, I think that if they would offer that amount to Daniel Jacobs, he might take it because that would be more than double that what he got paid in his biggest payday, which was against Peter Quillin, which was, I believe, $1.5 million.
You know, I think what it boils down to is that Danny's got to put his gloves where his mouth is at. You know, I mean, he's the one that says, I want to fight him. This is what I want. You know, I understand. Look, a fighter's got to get paid for what they're worth and because of the fact they're putting their lives on the line. But, hey, when you're out there and you're campaigning yourself that you want to fight the best available and they come knocking at your door, well, you answer the door, right?
Yeah. But here's
you don't tell them come back next
thing.
Week. What?
Here's the thing, David, about that. And I totally agree with you because at the end of the day, these guys are putting their lives on the line and they deserve to get paid and they deserve to be able to live comfortable lives. But
right.
Who sets your worth, though? Do you set your worth or does the marketplace
set your worth? Well, that's what I'm saying.
You
didn't market
yourself.
That's
simple economics.
Your promoter didn't do his damn job. So you're going to suffer mm-hmm. for what your promoter has done. And guess what? You have to take the crumbs that are falling off the table because that's the precedence of what your promoter did. So you shot yourself mm-hmm. in the foot by getting involved with a promoter that decided to scoop up everybody that's a fool. Rather than focusing mm-hmm. on Danny Jacobs, rather than focusing on Danny Jacobs' career and making him a star that he believes that he is, and he believes that his value is far more worth than 25%, well, guess what? Not even your promoter thought you were worth more than 25% because he didn't do his goddamn job. So who's to blame here?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that Danny Jacobs does have the potential to be a better-known fighter. I mean, I don't know about a
Absolutely.
Star, but
great
he does
backstory,
have the potential
dude.
To be a better-known fighter. Yeah, exactly. You know, great backstory. He has a great story and everything. But the thing is you have to tell the people what the story is. And to be able to tell that story, you got to fight more than once
the
a
best.
Year.
The best. Right.
You know?
You got to fight once more than once a year, and you have to fight the not just who's in your stable, but the
not
you know,
Sergio Mora twice.
Right. Yeah, not Sergio Mora twice, you know, but you know, you gotta fight the like I said, look, there's the PBC world and then there's the boxing world. You have to step mm-hmm. outside of you know of PBC world and start facing the boxing world. That's how you get recognition. That's how you get so now who's to say they haven't done that? I don't know all the gist of what's happening, you know, in terms of the business negotiations, but at the moment, what I'm seeing, if I see you on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever you're using as a social media train to get your name out there, and you're following it with comments such as, you know, I want to fight him. I don't care. Let's get it done. Woo, woo, woo. And his trainer even says, we want him next. Okay. Now, what's being offered to you? Okay, I understand. Negotiate. That's the reason why they have that, right? We negotiate. But what I'm saying is that if the offer is 75-25, what would be the next best offer? 30-35%? Because it's not going to go to 40. Doesn't look like that's what Triple G and Tom Lawler want to do. So I'm assuming they're going to get the biggest pot of what's being offered by Triple G because he's the draw.
Here's the thing.
Which would be 30%.
Tom Lawler is a here's the thing. Tom Lafleur is a good businessman. I mean, he's proven that with the way that he has developed Triple G and the markets that he's been in and the things that he has done. He's going to make an offer right now because they're still negotiating. And if Daniel Jacobs doesn't take it, then he's going to offer less money at the purse bid, you know? And if Daniel Jacobs says, no, it's not going to be as much as he's getting offered right now, because why would Tom Lafleur do that? Why would Tom Lafleur offer more money at the purse bid than what he's offering right now, you know? So he's going to offer less money at the purse bid, and if Daniel Jacobs doesn't take it, then he's going to leave his title vacant, you know? And then they're going to make Triple G the full-fledged WBA middleweight champion, and he's going to win another title at the negotiating table, just like he did against Canelo Alvarez, you know? So it's in Daniel Jacobs' best interest to take the offer that Tom Lafleur is making right now before the purse bid. And that's why they gave him more time, so they could negotiate some more. The only other thing that I can see this happening here, which I don't know if it's a long shot or not, because we just don't know, is that one way or the other, Al Heyman and Showtime get together and they win that purse bid. If they win that purse bid and they get the right to put on this fight on Showtime, what does that happen to Golovkin and his agreement with HBO, because he has an exclusive contract with them? Does he vacate the title? That's a tough call right there. And that's what's the most intriguing part to me about October 22nd. Who wins the purse bid? If Tom Lafleur and HBO win it, perfect. Now it's Daniel Jacobs' decision to take the 25% or not, and either fight Triple G or leave his title vacant. But if Showtime wins, then that's when it's really going to get interesting, because that might force Triple G to vacate his title if he can't fight on Showtime because of his exclusive contract with HBO. That's
a shitty way of losing your title
right now.
That is a ridiculous way of losing your title too.
Yeah, right. Especially for Triple G too, who's been trying to unify the division for, you know, since he won his first title at middleweight.
You know, I just go back with the whole issue again, is that Danny Jacobs, you've opened up this door, and you got to let whatever the wind's pushing it, you know, pushing through, you got to let it come through. Because 25% or even 30%, bro, even if he's able to get 30%, I say you need to take it. Because what is out there left for you? What, are you going to take another Petey Quillen rematch? You're going to wait for the Charlo brothers to jump up and wait and allow them to develop? And, I mean, where do you go from there? This is the best available.
Who is Daniel Jacobs without the WBA middleweight title?
True. And he doesn't even have the legit title. He's a titleist with the WBA, but he's not the Lanier title, you know, holder for that sanction. So
true, he's not considered the elite champion for the WBA. That's why he's getting 25%.
Right, and if the WBA is already saying they're going to go away with all these other, you know, superficial names for a title list, then where does that leave Danny Jacobs at now?
Without a title, even.
Without a title. I mean, there is no leverage there anyways, even negotiating in this fight, because he's not the real titleist to that sanction. So 25 to 30%, I mean, if I was him, I would try my best to get 35 to 38. If the 40% is not what he's, you know, they're not accepting, which would be on the Triple G side, you know, I would try to stretch it to try to get 38%, which we know that ain't going to happen. Because, you know, Tom Lafleur didn't want the more of what's in the pot, right? So his back is against the wall, and he's got to do something, because I tell you what, whatever happens next with Danny Garcia, it's going to be a crucifixion of whatever decision they decide to make, because the fact is that the PBC guys have been showing a trend of talking themselves out of or weighing themselves out of fights that are there, the best available that is there for their career and for boxing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame, because these guys have, you know, they're obviously talented fighters and they have good records and they have, you know, attractive styles. I mean, I'm talking about Daniel Jacobs and Danny Garcia, but because they got used to certain payouts and certain ways of their career being you'll manage, then they just get away. They really get away from what should be the real reason of them being in the sport, and that's to fight. Fights make fights, like Larry Merchant has said. You know, fighting, getting inside the ring keeps your name in the mouth, in the thoughts of fight fans, in the media. If you don't fight, there's no reason why anybody would pick up the phone and want to interview you if you don't have a fight coming up. Because the first thing they're going to ask is, when are you fighting and who are you fighting? You know? And if you're not fighting, then there's no reason to ever talk about you. You know?
Absolutely.
And that's the thing with Daniel Jacobs. Is like, you could be a bigger name. You could get more respect, but you have to fight. So how many times are you picking up the phone? How many times a day are you picking up the phone and calling Sam Watson, because I'm pretty sure you can't call Al Heyman directly. So you're calling Sam Watson and asking
him. Or the Twins.
Twins. You know, it all depends who you are, and I guess. I mean, maybe Danny Garcia does call Al Heyman directly, but maybe Daniel Jacobs doesn't. And asking him, when am I going to fight? Who am I going to fight and when? You know, that I think is what Daniel Jacobs needs to do.
You know, it's just crazy.
And a lot of these other fighters as well.
Right. It's just crazy to see that some of these fighters, for years, fighters from the 70s and 80s, even in the 90s, they fought to be the driver of their own vehicle. They didn't want to be in the back seat. They didn't want to be the passenger. And it's crazy for me to see that fighters that are comfortable allowing somebody else drive their career for them. Right now, Mitchell Amberson, who I believe he writes for BC, right? He just tweeted out, he's hearing that Danny Swift versus Keith Thurman is going to be targeted for March after this Samuel Vargas.
There you go.
Well,
we'll find
out.
I like that.
I mean, but I know, but you know, it's just, we got to suffer through another tune-up fight to see what's going to happen next with this guy. I mean,
this tune-up fight should have happened. Let's see, he fought in January, so maybe this fight with Samuel Vasquez, if it was a tune-up fight, should have happened in, you know, April, May, June. You know, maybe June, July, August. And then got in that Thurman fight at the end of this year. But now we got the tune-up fight in November. And hopefully, you know, we can only pray to the boxing gods it does lead to Keith Thurman against Danny Garcia in March of 2017.
Really quick here. You can email us at leavingtheringgmail. And I've got a couple emails here, guys. Got one email here. Okay, guys, listen, I'm listening to the show. I completely agree, but at the same time, Danny Jacobs, if he's a walk away at that 25% or even 30%, Dave, that you're mentioning, he still makes a big cut from originally fighting somebody that's in his own stable camp in PBC. Listen, that's true, but at the same time, it's not the big – I mean, I don't know what's being offered, okay? If it's the same offer – that's being made to Danny Jacobs in terms of, like, let's say it's $500,000, okay? And, let's say the pot, in the mountain pot, it's, let's say there's, I don't know, dude, how much money do you think this money can make here, Felipe?
It doesn't work that way. Right now, I believe that Tom Loeffler is offering him a flat fee. You know, he's saying, hopefully it's a little bit more than what he got paid against Peter Quillen, because quite honestly, it's a much more dangerous fight. You know, it's against you know, Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. So let's say he's
saying that's a bigger pie. I think what people
he's not offering him a percentage right now. He's offering him a flat fee. Let's say he's offering him 1.7, you know, which 1.7, let's say he's offering 1.7. Now, if he doesn't take the 1.7, so then when it goes to the purse bid, then let's say Tom Loeffler bids $4 million per se for the fight. Well, then Daniel Jacobs would get, you know, a million of that 4 million. So obviously he should have taken the 1.7, right? But he
right.
decided to wait for the purse bid, and now he's only going to make a million. I mean, this is only an example. Obviously, we don't
right.
know exactly what the offer is, but I hope and I would guess that it's a little bit more than what he got with for Peter Quillen, and I do believe that what he got offered for Peter Quillen
I think
was
so.
1.5.
Because if it's
you
held
know?
In New York, I think if it's going to be held in New York at the big room in Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
I think that's what they're going to try to head to. I think that money that fight there not alone is it's going to draw a major crowd, but even with wherever it decides to stage at HBO Showtime, you're going to have a lot of viewers for it. Okay, so I think the whatever money generates, it's a big chunk there, versus getting a flat fee that he's been getting from Al Haymon, originally like facing Sergio Mora or even as well as fighting the likes of Peter Quillen. He's still getting a smaller pie going after somebody in the PBC world. That's what I'm saying. If he wants to get out of the PBC world and he's looking not just in money but in legacy, this is what you got to do. Sometimes you got to take what's available because that's how you've been marketed. You know, you've been marketed as the little guy. Triple G's the big guy. Okay?
Well, one thing that
that's
we are going to find out. One thing that we are going to find out if it goes to the purse bid is we're going to find out exactly how much he's going to get paid because, you know, they're going to announce the amount
right.
of the purse bid and who won the purse bid. Now, does Al Haymon pay him a little bit on the side, which he's known to do? Who knows? But why would he? You know, why would Al Haymon pay him a little bit on the – I mean, actually, he probably would because we've heard that Al Haymon has actually paid fighters not to fight. Let's say the purse bid is $4 million and Tom Loeffler wins it and he gets $1 million of that. Does Al Haymon give him $500,000 or $700,000 out of his own pocket to have Daniel Jacobs fight? I don't know. I mean, I don't see why he would do that if there's no way for Al Haymon to recoup that money since the promoter on record is going to be Tom Loeffler and K2 Promotions. So I don't see why Al Haymon – because that would be just money that he's not going to recoup. There's no way he's not going to get any money from ticket sales or anything like that to recoup that money that he would give Danny Jacobs on the side. So, you know, it's just a waiting game. We got about 9, 10 days to wait to see what happens. Unless it comes to an agreement.
If it's revealed in the purse bid, I mean, whatever's being offered to Danny, if it's really low, okay. You know, I think we can justify that. We can be on his – on you know, behind him about it. But, you know, that we're not going to find that out until 9 days away.
Yeah. But then let's the question is this, David, and I make it to you. Let's say it is $4 million, the purse bid, and Tom Loeffler wins it. So Daniel Jacobs gets $1 million, and he decides to say no to the fight. Okay, he says, nope, I got 1.5 for Peter Quillen. I think this is a way much tougher fight, so I'm not going to fight for no $1 million. He vacates
That's
the title.
Stupid.
What does that say?
Listen.
What does that
listen,
say
well,
about Daniel Jacobs?
I'm going to tell you exactly what that says, is that he's about the money. He's not about the legacy. I mean, if you're looking to break into the stardom, right, the stardom category, if you're looking to break into the pay-per-view category, if you're looking to break into the Canelo sweepstakes, then that's what you have to do. I'm sorry, $1 million is still good money. I mean, you just made 2 million facing Quillen, and then I can't remember exactly the amount you made with Sergio Mora, but twice. You came with low-risk fights with Sergio Mora, you know? Now, I get this Peter Quillen. He knocked out the guy that was supposed to beat him. He wasn't supposed to knock out Peter Quillen. But if you want to break out of the PBC world, and I keep saying it, PBC world, you got to take these necessary risks. And that risk is to take in the low ball of what is being offered. $1 million? Come on. Every fighter, and you know this, Felipe, as well as I do, every fighter's big dream is to be the main event to a pay-per-view event and bring major numbers to it. And that's the only way that I see Danny Garcia being a household name, is by facing somebody that everybody's saying that Canelo is avoiding. That's why I understand what Canelo's side of what they're saying with Triple G is like, hey, you know, we get more of this and that because we're the bigger draw and all these other things. There's an argument there. You know, where Danny Jacobs hasn't even got to that point. You know what I'm saying? He can't even, I mean, Danny Jacobs can't fight Amir Khan and draw how many people, or a Layman Smith and draw, you know, sell out a huge arena and give decent pay-per-view numbers. He hasn't done that yet. So what foot is he standing on? That's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. Like I just said, this is just a matter of time of let's see what happens. I mean, I really hope they make the fight, because I really think it's a good fight. Inside the ring, on the canvas, I think it's a good fight. I think Daniel Jacobs is athletic enough. He has talent. He has technique that he can make it a very interesting fight against Gennady Golovkin. You know, is Gennady Golovkin going to fight the way that he fought against Kell Brook, against Daniel Jacobs? No, he's not going to take the risk. He's not going to take that
Absolutely.
Risk. But the one thing that we've seen about Gennady Golovkin is that if you move a little bit on him, like Kell Brook did and like William Monroe did, to a certain extent, you're gonna be in there for a while, you know? And I think Daniel Jacobs has that opportunity to do that. Now, what Daniel Jacobs does with being with Gennady Golovkin in the ring for a while, it's up to him and see what if he could do something to defeat him. His trainer said they could. They saw the fight against Kell Brook, and they immediately said that they wanted to face him and that they can beat him. Well, let's see it happen, you know. Let's see it happen. Let's see it inside the ring. But first, you got to sign that contract. They got to come to terms. And Tom Loeffler has even said them to be happy, because if they're happy, then we're going to promote this fight and it's going to be a big fight. But both sides have to be happy. And hopefully he does get to be happy. I don't know if he's going to get the amount that he had been asking about, but hopefully he gets close enough that he feels happy about it and we can see the fight on December 10th.
Sometimes fighters need to get, you know, and tweet before your mind thinks for you, because it, look what happens. It gets you in this world of BS. You get dragged into something. Fight fans expect you to follow through. If that's what fight fans, we hold you to every word, and we want you to say, you better make sure you come through. Right now, you got a lot of folks salivating for this fight. It's not the you know, it, to me, it's the best middleweight fight out there to be made between both these guys. But I mean, with casual fans, this is not the you know, the cream of the crop fight, you know. But I'll take Danny Jacobs versus Triple G any day right now. That fight I want to see happen. The only one that could stop it, obviously not just one, but could be both of them. They can, you know, they may not. Until then, we see what's really going on in terms of money. We'll see what the wait. See what happens. Anyways, hey, let's move on really quick. Let's go on our next topic here. The WBC has threw out a list, okay, they have a clean boxing program, you know, testing, and it's set to begin. It's with the VADA, you know, the Voluntary Anti-Doping Agency, okay, and it was officially announced in May 5th in Las Vegas, right? So they get, this is in May, and now we're in October, and they threw it all out there for fighters to sign up, and they said that if you don't sign up, what's going to happen is you're going to be dropped out of the ratings, right? So the list has been out there. You got the likes of David Hay, heavyweight David Hay from England, Sean Pascal from Canada, light heavyweight, Gabriel Rosado, USA middleweight, Bonds Matarossian, super middleweight, Amir Khan from England, Lamont Peterson from the U.S., Felix Verdejo from Puerto Rico, Henry Lundy from USA, Yorkie Gamboa, Cuba, Cesar Juarez from Mexico, Brian Valora from the U.S. as well. I mean, you got some pretty recognizable names here that have been said are going to be dropped from the ratings because they didn't sign up with the clean, you know, what is it called again? I'm sorry. It's a clean boxing program, right? Now, I made a call to the WBC to find out if for one thing I was kind of curious about was what benefit do they get from doing this, but from linking up with VADA. And basically, you know, Mauricio Sulaiman, the son of the late Sulaiman, the late president, is that, listen, he's not, there's nothing. And matter of fact, VADA and the WBC are helping pay for this, for the testing, for the random testing. Okay. So what basically what's been going on with the sport, with everybody getting popped of substance in their body, is they want to make this contribute of cleaning up the sport. Okay. Now, Amir Khan tweeted that, you know, he's going to sign up, but he hasn't signed the paperwork. They submitted the paperwork to him. Now, here's the thing. The people that have, because this was dropped, okay, this was released, and as soon as it was released, and certain fighters took note that, oh, snap, this is a real deal. I'm going to be dropped from the ratings, okay? So Hank Lundy, Vance Matarossian, they called, and they asked for those forms. So those forms have been resent to Hank Lundy and Vance Matarossian, and among other a couple other fighters as well. Okay, now this is the opportunity for them to enroll this week, you know, if they want to do so, you know, and if you do, like, if it's fighters right now listening, you're part of the WBC ratings, you obviously you can reach them at the LA office at WBCboxing.com. Okay, but I asked if let me tell you this, man. I asked, I was curious about one fighter. Yorkies Gamboa. I asked, hey, did he call and ask you to get, you know, resend the form in terms of to get, you know, enrolled in this program? And they said no. Okay, he did not respond back. But there's a majority of fighters that did respond back. Now, some of the fighters, unfortunately, because this was sent in English and some were sent in Spanish, but most of, like, the Japanese fighters that would be dropped from the ratings, well, they're going to work with them because they were asking to have it in their language, right? And because they couldn't read it in English and Spanish. So they were like, hey, you know, they didn't really fully understand what was being sent out to them to sign up for. Okay? So that's understandable. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the likes of, like, Sean Pascal not signing up, I think he's the last of his days. I think that's it. I think he's hanging up the gloves. Okay? You know, I don't see him doing that. What's the excuse for Verdejo? I'm not sure. Oscar Valdez, who is not with the WBC, I believe he's what? He's the WBO champion, right?
Yes, featherweight.
Yeah, but he's told the WBC, yo, I want that green belt. So we kind of expect him to – well, they expect him that week. They expect him to be signing up to this program pretty soon.
Well, I mean, it's a big undertaking. I mean, if you just think about it, it's over 300 fighters. The way they understood it is if you're in the top 15 of each division and the champion, you have to be signed up with the Clean Boxing program to be kept in the ratings. All these guys that you mentioned are fighters that did not sign up and now have been dropped from their top 15 rating. So it's over, you know, with over 20 divisions and over 15 fighters of each division, that's over 300 fighters who VADA and WBC are going to be testing for free. So if you're a clean fighter and you want to stay in the ratings, why would you not sign up? You know, if you have nothing to hide and you want to be in the top 15 ratings, which basically are the ones that get to fight for a title, because if the world champion is going to defend his title in a voluntary defense, he gets to choose a fighter that is ranked in the top 15. So you might get that call, but you can't get that call if you're not rated in the top 15, and you can't be rated in the top 15 if you haven't signed up for this program. So it's a big undertaking. I mean, I applaud the WBC. Obviously, we all have our criticisms, our gripes against the sanctioning bodies. But like I said it before on this show, you know, I think Mauricio Sulaiman is trying to do things a little bit different, and he's put together this program. He announced it in May. They extended the deadline till yesterday from September. It was originally going to be in September, and then it got extended till yesterday. And now he dropped the hammer. He said, hey, you guys didn't sign up. You guys are out of the ratings. Amir Khan is ranked number one in the welterweight division. So at one point,
and if he doesn't get back to them today, Right. If he doesn't fill out that form, I'm told he's being dropped. You know, they're not messing around, which I applaud them for that. Yeah. They're not messing around. I mean, to have that on your website as well shows the movement that they're trying to do. I mean, like you said, we have our criticisms of the WBC, some things that they don't follow through that they need to, even with their bylaws, they got to follow through and stop making excuses for fighters. But here's one that they're sticking by, and you got to applaud it.
You know, now imagine, I mean, not that this might happen or it may happen, but imagine if all the sanctioning bodies follow suit, you know? So you can't be, because, I mean, like Felix Verdejo, it's obvious he's from Puerto Rico. It's obvious he's being loyal to the WBO, which is based in Puerto Rico, and who he, I think, has fought or does not, or I think he even holds a, like a regional title, like a Latino title at lightweight for them. So does he really care about the WBC? Yeah, he probably does, but not as much as the WBO. But now imagine if the WBO had the same program, then you have to sign up because then nobody's going to rate you. And if nobody rates you, you don't fight for a world title. And that's where the money's at. TV wants to see world titles. You know, they want to announce you as the world champion or that you're going to be fighting for a world title when you fight on HBO or Showtime or whatever the case may be. And if you can't get rated by these sanctioning bodies, then you can't fight for the title. So is this the answer? I mean, obviously, Guerra Montoya would know better than we do, you know, but VADA is, I believe, all year round. So is this the answer to clean up the sport, that the sanctioning bodies have to, you know, enforce this? Not just the WBC, but the WBO, the IBF, and the WBA, that they enforce this. If all the sanctioning bodies enforce this and you can't get rated by anybody, is this the answer to clean up the sport? To me, it kind of seems like it might be.
It's a form of enforcement that can help out. You know what I mean? It may not be the answer, but I think we need a starting point. And the, one of the starting points is to finally have a sanctioned body step up and say there is a problem here, and they're not trying to form their own drug testing. You know what I mean? Like other, like Golden Boy tried at one time. You know, tried to do their own drug testing. Same thing with the UFC. You know that the WBC at least was competent to understand and realize that they can't do it. Let's have the experts do it. Okay. Hey, I just saw this in the boxing news. You know about Broner.
Yeah.
I guess he was tweeting out that he was going to take his life, and the police went down to his place and made sure, you know, they tweeted out, the Cincinnati police, saying they were aware of concerns regarding boxer Adrian Broner. They looked into this and made contact, all as well. Thank you for the concern. So that's a good thing. I mean, he was tweeting out, I don't want to be here no more. This shit is too much. And then posted a photo on Instagram of himself holding a handgun and then wrote, I'm going
home.
He
wasn't holding it. It was in the car.
It was in his car.
It was just there. Yeah, I saw it. You know, I don't know what to think, man. I mean, Adrian Broner is Adrian Broner, and you know, if he's being serious, then I hope he gets the help that he needs. But if he's using this
as a
la Mayweather to keep
his
name in the news, and he's getting the police to drive out to his car instead of, you know, I mean, drive out to his house instead of, you know, being in patrolling the streets, then, you know, that's not right. So, I mean, I don't want to hope that it's serious because I don't really want him to have suicidal thoughts because I don't wish that on anybody, you know. But then I also don't want him to be messing around and just trying to stay in the news, you know. So, you know, it's hard to know with, you know, Adrian Broner. I mean, it's a classic story of the boy that cried wolf. You just don't know anymore with this guy.
You don't. I think that's what he's kind of created himself, man. I hope he's fine, you know. But, I mean, you don't know. I don't know what goes on in the mind of Adrian Broner. I don't think anybody – I don't even think Adrian Broner knows what goes on in the mind of the problem, you know.
That's what I know, man. Jesus.
You know, but I mean, if he's taking this as well, like if he's looking at Tyson Fury and he's saying that this guy has some mental issues and he's like, hey, I'm going to take it up a notch, because then you're absolutely right. But I hope he's smart enough to understand that this is no game. You can't play that. You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of people in this world that do go through those moments. You know, depression is nothing to joke about. Anyways, I don't want to talk about BJ Flores, man. I don't got nothing to say about that fight. I don't know if you got anything you want to talk about, but I think we're all talked out over here on Leaving the Ring. It was good to be back. I'm glad I have Felipe Leon with me. I think Felipe's going to be covering the chair for Gabriel Montoya for some time, because for a little bit, because Gabriel, like I said, he's working. He's doing his play in San Francisco. I forgot the name of it. I'll ask him so I can announce it and stuff. But hey, we got some other things in work. We'll announce it pretty soon. Anyways, Felipe, like always, brother, it's always a pleasure to talk boxing here. We didn't get into any of our argument, man. We have to come up with something we don't agree on, you know? Anyways.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see what happens.
Well, I don't agree on your hair. I don't agree on your haircut, so we could discuss that next week.
Oh, well, we'll find out. Yeah. Anyways, always, as always, here on Monday, you got the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. On Tuesday, you got Felipe Leon, who's opening up his He's zipping down his zipper in the background.
That was before we went live.
You know. Anyways, you got him on In the Square Circle, which is your fight news 30 minutes or less. Then you got every other Thursday, you have the 2-minute round, all female dedicated boxing show, which is a really, really good show. You guys got to tune in and check it out. They had Chris Martin. Unfortunately, last week's show was in there were some
technical
issues.
Yeah.
Right.
We have next show is on October 20th is our next show, next Thursday.
There you go. And Wednesday nights here on Leaving the Ring at 6 p.m. You got Leaving the Ring, the flagship show of all boxing podcasts. Anyways, hey, we'll keep up with you guys. Don't have a good weekend with your family. Don't drink and drive, because you will spill your beer.